This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with the Southwest Texans starts right now.
All right, everybody, this is a new edition of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313, brought to you by Open Talk Radio, The Flash 313. Welcome, everybody, as tonight is going to be an exciting episode. I have two guests. One had to cancel out on me, David Russell from the Deathmatch Russell podcast. He couldn't make it, so sorry about that, but I have two other guests, very exciting. I have Casanova Valentine, Deathmatch Wrestler. We're going to get into his career and what he thinks about today's product and if he watches today's product and all about deathmatch, you know, see what made him choose deathmatch over wrestling. And I also have Impact Wrestler Rohit Raja tonight. So tonight's going to be a jam-packed show, so you might want to check it out. Area code 646-668-8672. And while I'm waiting for my guests to call in, you know, all you guys can call in, call to the Southwest Texan at the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Let me know what you guys want to talk about when it comes to the wrestling. First off, I'm going to get into Vince McMahon possibly selling the WWE to either ESPN and Fox or Disney at the middle of this month. I mean, it was a long time coming. You know, it was just a matter of time before Vince was going to sell out and pack his stuff and take his bar and call it a day. You know, I mean, he's been in the game since the early 80s, and even before that when he was a commentator and interviewer, when he interviewed the wrestlers before he became the owner of the World Wrestling Federation back in the day. And, I mean, ever since then, he transcended the wrestling business, and he made wrestling to what it is today. Vince McMahon is one of the biggest geniuses, if not the biggest genius in wrestling even to today, because he's still running the WWE up until he wants to sell. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Give me a call. Area code 646-668-8672. If you guys want to call in, talk to the Texan and let me know what you think about that, or if you want to speak anything else about wrestling or even what's going on today with the COVID-19. I mean, even that stopped the whole wrestling world and turned it upside down and inside out. So, Martez, what do you think about the WWE or Vince selling the WWE possibly with the network and everything?
How you doing? I didn't know if that was true or not, man, but I guess it is true based on how you starting off the show. I guess it is true, but honestly, I don't like it. You know, I don't like that WWE will not be in the hands of ESPN and Fox But I don't know all the logistics to it. Like, is he selling everything to them to the point to where his children don't have any say-so in it anymore, or will they have say-so in it? I don't. Yeah, what's the logistics?
I think that it's going to be done as a whole. But like me and you were speaking about before, and like you said, your little concept that you said before, that maybe they're holding on to NXT as another brand, that way they could keep on in the wrestling business, that way the McMahons and Triple H can have a say-so. Because I believe that when they sell it to Fox or whoever they're going to sell it to, has complete control where the McMahons are no longer involved in the WWE name or the WWE machine that they built, that they've been building for generations.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of makes sense that they're going to want, like, total control, because the way Fox has been acting since accumulating SmackDown, it's as if Fox is basically calling SmackDown and WWE their own. And it seems like Fox is calling a lot of shots. You know, Fox, they went all out their way to create a WWE talk show at a primetime hour with WWE backstage, and they've also been showing a lot of WWE programming on Fox and FS1. So that makes sense. You know, if they're going to sell the company, they're going to sell everything. And I just don't know. I just don't know if that will hurt the product, you know, because I don't know how much these people at ESPN or Fox know about our business and know what the fans want. You know, I'm just afraid of the sacredness of wrestling. I don't want that to be tarnished. So I'm not really happy about it.
Right. No, I totally agree with that, because like I was saying, Vince, the business to what it is today, where there is a buffet of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? There was wrestling back then. There was the territories. You had the Mid-Souths. You had the Souths. You had the up Norths and everywhere, the Stampede Wrestling. And, I mean, Vince just took it all over. And, I mean, so the McMahon name basically is synonymous with wrestling, and it's the only name basically that's in wrestling besides Cody Rhodes bringing out AEW. You know what I'm saying? You had Jeff Jarrett and Jerry bring out Impact Wrestling, which I want to get onto Impact Wrestling in a second. You know, but the McMahon's name, if it's not a part of the WWE, even though people say, oh, the McMahon's are messing up wrestling, McMahon's, you know, getting out of touch. But when the McMahons end up selling and end up leaving as a whole, and you won't hear the McMahon name, you won't see the McMahons no more, it's going to hurt a lot of fans and a lot of people.
It is, and I think wrestling, and I'm sensitive to people that lost people, but it almost seemed like wrestling will be extinct, even though we know wrestling is still going on. But wrestling starts with the WWE, in my opinion. Make no mistake about it. It starts with WWE. Even though WWE can be watered down, you know, that's the top dog, you know. And I think that it's going to be really sad when they're not operating the way we are accustomed to them operating. That's how I feel about it. But I was wondering, so do you think that he offered it to his kids before he decided to start negotiations about selling the company?
I would think so. I would think, because, you know, I know Shane, like back in 2016, I'm going to take it back to 2016 when they came to Detroit. When Shane McMahon first came back to WWE in 2016, he was telling Vince and Stephanie, I want the WWE to be around for my generation of boys, for the next generation and the next generation. But if you sell it, what does that leave his sons? And what does that say for the rest of the McMahon family that's been building this empire since they've all got into the business together, when they all actually started in 99, accumulating it and making the show what it is today?
Yeah.
So I believe that if I believe he asked them, and I believe Shane didn't want to, even though he did say in 2016 that he wanted to have it for his kids. But I don't think that Shane's all in, because he's got enough money to be set for the rest of his life. Everybody in that family that's going to be a part of the selling of the WWE has enough money. So they're like, bump it. Let's call it a day. Triple H, if you want to keep NXT or sell it to the whole thing, sell it as a whole triple threat. a triple WAM package. Do it. If not, keep running NXT, and then even the McMahons might, you know, maybe the McMahons like, oh, we sold WWE to them, but we own NXT, and then here comes the authority all over again.
Right. Exactly. And then I guess if Triple H, if he keeps NXT, I guess the WWE will still be living as we, I mean, but without, I guess it wouldn't be WWE, but in our heads, it would be WWE. Sort of like when NWA sort of kind of became WCW, you know, people still looked at it as the NWA, even though it was WCW. I think we can still look at NXT as if it was WWE, since Triple H will be in charge of it. But yeah, I don't see Triple H giving that up at all, because that's a lot of investment,
no,
a lot of time, you know. And he really doesn't have anything going on, from what I know, outside of wrestling, because the wrestling is his business, is his life. And,
yeah, like they, that's true. You know, Triple H said it before, that WWE is his church, it's his sanctuary, it's his Bible, it's all he knows, it's what he eats, it's what he sleeps, and it's what he works out. It's, you know, it's everything to him.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, so like I said, you know, when I heard that, I was reading all of it. I was reading into it, and it's like, man, it's like, it's crazy to hear that, you know, it's going to be an end of an era. Like you said, it could mean the extinction of WWE, because that can mean, because if you look at it, WWE, Vince McMahon always said that WWE is a wrestling show trying to put on a TV show, not like WCW where it was vice versa, when in the 90s it was Ted Turner running a TV show trying to run a wrestling promotion. It wasn't like that for the McMahons, because they knew what they were doing. The McMahons knew what they were doing. And if you look at it, once you get rid of the McMahons, how is ESPN, Fox, or Disney going to run the WWE? They're going to probably not even know how to run the WWE, and that's where AEW is going to come in, and they're going to be able to run head-to-head with Monday Night Raw and probably run WWE out of the road.
Hey, true. This is open season for AEW. Like, if in fact this happened, and when this happened, like, AEW should be salivating, because they could be the top dog, you know. And I know you're going to bring this up in a moment, but even other promotions like Impact and Ring of Honor, they can see their self moving up the ladder, especially if ESPN really thinks. Because
and
I remember
even the, you know, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember when ESPN got the NBA, even though they didn't own the NBA, but when they got the NBA from NBC. I mean, when the NBA was on NBC during the 90s and late 80s. And,
mm-hmm.
It just seemed like that coverage was different. It just seemed like I enjoyed watching the NBA on NBC. But when it moved over to ESPN, it's like ESPN kind of watered it down, the broadcast. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but I'll be real bitter for a long time if WWE is owned by ESPN or Fox, because who knows what they know? I mean, they may know some things, but who knows?
Well, yeah, most definitely, and that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe this is the moment for everybody, you know, even the indie scene, to show up WWE, because the indie scene I always say this every show. You said it yourself. I say this every show, because I believe that the indie scene can. Top, you know, not top WWE, because no, you know, they don't have the money and the money financially back up to do it. But this is where a lot of the indie stars can get to the top of the mountain and end up going to WWE a lot easier, because maybe ESPN, you know, catch them out like some college scouts in NFL or NBA, and be like, hey, we want you in the WWE. It could probably end up being a lot easier for the indies to get a lot of their wrestlers up to the WWE.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. You know, I never thought about that, but that's actually a good point, man. Like, it could be so much easier for the indie wrestlers, you know. And of course, we don't know everything, but it's going to be hard for me to see ESPN embracing certain characters like The Fiend. You know, even characters like the Boogeyman, if they want to bring the Boogeyman back for like a reunion special, it's hard for me to see them embracing characters like that. You know, I can see them embracing Roman Reigns. I can see them embracing the likes of Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I see that too. I can see that, man. It's going to be crazy to see because, like, it's going to be an end of a long era, long generations of the McMahons running the wrestling world. So it's like the COVID-19 hit and the wrestling world turned upside down, and it's probably going to end up dying because the McMahons are going to sell.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, Southwest? It just seems – I just got this feeling – because I thought, I'm not going to lie, last Friday night, I thought McMahon was getting ready to retire and tell Triple H, this is your company now. You know, I just get that feeling that it's time. You know, he's getting ready to be done with this, you know. But I wasn't expecting him to sell it to ESPN or Fox. But I've already had that feeling like this is over for him. Yeah, he did all he needed to do.
Right. And he did a lot. He did a lot in this business. Vince McMahon did a whole lot in this business. I'll tell you that much, man.
Yep, yep. And I know people say McMahon, he's probably an evil person and he's probably a bad person. And, you know, he's cool with Donald Trump. And we can put all that aside. We can put all that aside. I just look, and I'm gonna try to fight back tears because McMahon, he's like family. I don't know the guy, but like wrestling is family. Being able to have this a part of our lives every Monday. Every Tuesday, when it was on Thursday,
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big family. Like even if you're watching on, like when you go to a WWE, like you said, SmackDown was gonna be your first WWE event, you know, and before the COVID-19 hit, and it is like a family. Like when you go to those WWE events, like I've been going to WWE events. My first WWE event was 1997 Sunday Night Heat. It was a Sunday Night Heat in 97. And it was, I can remember this vividly because I had to run out the arena because I almost got kicked out. I was a kid, but I mean, yeah. It was Matt Hardy versus Viscera. And they were going one-on-one, and I had a laser pointer. I was up in the nosebleeds. It was me and one of my best friends in this world. And he's like 8 years older than me. And I had a laser pointer and I pointed it all the way down to Viscera, and I guess he got blinded and he ended up getting pinned by Matt Hardy, and I don't think that was supposed to happen. And I seen security running up to the like to where I was, so I ended up running, and me and my best friend, we ended up zooming out of there, man. It was so funny.
Oh man, that's a funny story.
Yeah.
For sure.
That was funny, and yeah, man. But you know, if you want, let's move on from the sad WWE news, and you know, Impact Wrestling. I don't know if you got to catch that on Tuesday, but Impact Wrestling is trying to. I don't know if they're trying to bring it in a double brand, or if this is just like a part of the storyline that they're doing that they're bringing back the TNA name. Because Tessa Blanchard is in Mexico. She's stuck in Mexico. I guess they're saying that she's holding the Impact title hostage. And Michael Elgin came up. He's like, well, Eddie Edwards ain't here, and Tessa Blanchard's not here to defend her title. We were supposed to have the triple threat title match tonight at Rebellion Night 2. And he was like, by the end of the night, I will become the new Impact World Champion, and out comes Moose. Moose comes out, and he brings out the old Impact World Heavyweight, or the TNA Heavyweight Championship. He's like, I'm the true TNA Heavyweight Champion. He's like, by the end of the night, I'll be whoever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'll be the new, I'll be crowned the true TNA Heavyweight Champion. And they bring it back a lot of the TNA originals. So at the end of the Impact, it was Moose, Michael Elgin, versus Hernandez, TNA original. And they're bringing out a lot of TNA original. So I'm thinking either they're using that just for because they got a lot of nostalgia when they did that one-night thing, that one-night TNA pay-per-view or if they're going to try to bring that as a TNA show and make it like a brand split and bring TNA Originals back and do it versus the Impact of now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I actually had a chance to see that. I think everything you said, I agree with, and I hope they do that for sure. You know, I like that idea of Moose because I was reading that they're gonna have some kind of champion versus champion match, Moose versus Tessa Blanchard, and that's why he brought out that that TNA championship belt. But it has to be more to it. It has to be more to it, you know, than just So. I always say, like, TNA, I mean, Impact, they have a lot of potential. You know, they have great wrestlers over there, you know, and I think they could be a major player, you know, and storylines like this can really catapult them because I'm interested in this now. You know, I'll be watching and see how this formulates, you know. It's all about the storyline. If you want people to start watching your product, I think it's all about you got to give them a reason to distract them from what they're doing, you know, and you got to give them a reason, give people a reason to view your product, you know. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. I thought the same thing. And then if any of you callers want to call in and talk about this or the WWE selling or anything wrestling before any of my guests want to call in, area code 646-668-8672 if you want to rap with me and Martel real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, it's like I thought that was a great thing. I think that's a great thing Impact is actually doing. So I'm a big fan of it, and I believe that it's going to turn into something like a second brand split or something like that.
Yeah. Because I don't know if I was saying this the other day, you know, it's okay to have WWE. I mean, there's room for another major promotion. Okay, it's just a whole bunch of promotions that will be fighting for that third spot. Okay, you got WWE, you got AEW. Those are the top two dogs. Reminds me of when WWE and WCW were the top two dogs. But that third member in that the third member of the top mainstream promotions was ECW. So I feel like any one of these promotions can rise up and take the spot that ECW had, you know, back then. And I think TNA or NWA they can really do that. I wish some of these promotions just start working together, you know, like Ring of Honor, TNA. Ring of Honor.
You know, actually, AEW and Ring of Honor are actually going to work together. Marty Scurll brought that out on his podcast. I didn't mean to cut you off. But, yeah, he actually brought that out. He brought that up that AEW and Ring of Honor are going to work together.
Oh, well, that's just genius, man. That's a genius move. That's a big props to Cody and Marty because that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Let me. I'm gonna step back and screen this call. I'm gonna find out who's on hold. See if this is one of your interviews.
All right, appreciate it, brother. But yeah, guys. I mean, like I just said, you know, Marty Scurll said that on an interview on his podcast that he was gonna Ring of Honor and Ring of Honor and WWE, Ring of Honor and AEW are gonna end up working together. And I believe that's a genius move, like Martez said, because you got a whole bunch of talent. And then you got Cody Rhodes and Marty Scurll, which were, you know, they actually got history when they were part of the Bullet Club, the Elite. And, man, that's just a genius move. And they both could be tied for number two, or they could be number two together. And possibly Ring of Honor could end up being that number 30 spot. But if you want to talk about, like, you know what I'm saying, an ECW kind of, you know, spot, taking the third spot, I believe that either Horace Lamb, H2O Wrestling, or GCW Wrestling would be able to do that. I believe that AEW and WWE would be that number one and number two spot mainstream. But if you want to do it like that, if you want to have, like, you know, Martez, is that my interview or is that somebody calling? Okay. But yeah, guys, area code 646. You said what?
Yeah, Greg is on the line. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's going on, brother? What's going on, brother Greg?
Evening. How are you?
What's going on?
My favorite Texan.
Oh, man. How you doing, brother? I miss you, man.
I miss you, too, man. Hopefully we get to see some wrestling soon. Very interesting. It's talking about companies working together. And you remember, man, long, long, long time ago, I mean, like, Inoki and Muhammad Ali, that was Vince McMahon and New Japan working together. And Vince McMahon's hard-ass head is like, all right, you know, I will work with you and trade talent with you, but you can't trade talent with them. And trading talent with Japan introduced people like me at 14 years old to a whole new, like, the Japanese talent, your Ultimo Dragons, your Eddie Guerreros, your Chris Jerichos, Rey Mysterios, guys I never seen, a style I'd never seen. And being a little skinny guy with a dream of being Hulk Hogan, that was inspiring to see. And it was because of those shared talent relationships. I think it's important, especially when companies start building steam, to share talent and to have cross-promotional, you know, feuds, or, you know, storylines or whatnot.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Like I said, AEW and Ring of Honor, man. Ring of Honor since day one, since 2002, since they came and debuted in the wrestling world, has been nothing but great. They put on a lot of great matches, and I believe them two together, Ring of Honor and AEW, are going to bring some fire matches and just, man, something that this wrestling world hasn't seen in a long time.
And Ring of Honor and their the way they shared talent exposed me and almost rekindled my love for wrestling with New Japan, seeing Tanahashi and, you know, a lot of these guys from Japan that I wasn't so familiar with. And then you see these guys that you're starting to watch, and then you see they got signed by WWE. And, you know, it brought us into a new era of a really good era of wrestling.
Most definitely. Most definitely, and that's I agree with you that 100%, brother. And like you go to Horsham with me, and this is something that I'm happy that you called, brother. Man, I try to get this across. A lot of these mainstream fans on this show that deathmatch wrestling, that they need to check it out. You know, give it a chance. You know, a lot of people don't want to give it a chance, and they don't have to, but you know. Deathmatch wrestling is something that's unique and fun.
Okay. I may have came to see that, but that's deathmatch wrestling is not what brought me back. So my message is I'm nothing. I'm nobody but a fan. I'm another guy in the seats cheering on, you know, guys I love to come and see. I keep coming for the wrestling. They're good storylines, good matches, and, you know, and then, you know, you also have this layer of extreme violence as well, which has its own place. And that's the beauty of Horror Slam, that this crazy violence is almost a separate, you know, division from the rest of Horror Slam. Although the Horror Slam heavyweight champion just happens to be, you know, one of the most hardcore MFers, you know, around, the old timer Jeff King. But man, high-quality wrestling, and I would swear to anybody that you will not be disappointed attending a Horror Slam show, whether blood and guts is your thing or not. I would guarantee you any wrestling fan would be impressed and want to return to Horror Slam.
Definitely, man. That's one thing I could say, man. The Horror Slam is great, but, you know, my thing, you know, is I love both. And that's what I love. Like, you know, I didn't mean it like that. Like Extreme was everything but Horror Slam, because, you know, they are, before they got into deathmatch wrestling, they had pro wrestling, you know, but they brought into that, you know, extremeness that everybody loves. But I mean, you got to love a Horror Slam wrestling, because you got actual wrestlers like MM3. You got wrestlers like Logan that are technical wrestlers, that are great technical wrestlers. Jeff King brings the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. And from the top of the card to the bottom, always, you said, even if it's not a death match or an extreme match, if it's a match with a disqualification, you're not going to be disappointed. The crop of talent that they bring in, and the crop of talent here in the Midwest is crazy deep. I mean, any promotion could run two shows a month and not have the same guy on two shows and put a high caliber card out that anybody would be willing to pay a fee. There's
yeah,
that many stars in the Midwest, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned Impact. How about Jackson Stone? I can't wait to see him debut, speaking of big talent coming out of the Midwest.
Dude, most definitely. I was excited when I seen that, and I'm actually trying to get him on the – dude, I was excited when I seen that. Like, my heart almost jumped out of my throat. Like, I was, like, so serious. And, I mean, I only seen him wrestle, like, two times, but I was excited to see it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to get him on the show, but, you know, he's kind
of
busy.
He's
but
one
I,
of our own.
Yeah, he's one of our own, you know, and we've seen him before all this happened, and it's exciting to see one of our own do it. It's actually very exciting.
And I've gotten to know the man. He's one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. Nicest, most well-mannered guy. Man, great mind for wrestling, great love for wrestling. This man can't say enough about the Suplex Shogun.
Oh, yeah. I like I said, I only seen him wrestle twice, but it was exciting to see it because I thought I was seeing something. I'm like, I have to rewind it a few times. I'm like, yeah, that's him. I'm like, holy shit. And it was exciting.
I cried, man. I followed it, and in the finale, I really didn't think he was going to win. I just thought the other guy, you know, and he has the tag team partner, and, you know, it just seemed like, it seemed to me like, well, and I was just hoping that hopefully he showed enough to get noticed, and because he deserves to be at the next level. He's the longest reigning Proven Ground champion in history. And he invented this since he won the title, defends it under the Suplex Shogun challenge rules, which he cannot pin his opponent until he has suplexed him five times. However, his opponent can pin him anytime. He can lose the title by count out or by disqualification or by being suplexed five times. And it's, man, so
yeah.
Fun to watch. I've seen a lot of guys where him and Isaiah Bronner, crazy. I booked that match. I won the raffle and Van Booker match. I'm like, Isaiah Bronner and Shogun.
Wow, man.
It ended in a no
that
contest.
That must have been exciting, man. That's that man. That sounds like fun. But, yeah, brother, it's I got a Casanova Valentine coming on. If you want to stick on for a little bit and give him a question or two,
I mean, absolutely.
I wouldn't mind. Let me see if he's on yet. Let me see. I don't think he's on yet. I don't think he's on yet. No, but yeah, we can continue to talk wrestling, but. What do you think about Vince McMahon trying to sell WWE in mid-May?
It's kind of heartbreaking to me. And really, to me, I feel like you were saying, you thought, or actually Martez was saying, he expected the McMahons to reign forever. Like, it was just a matter of time before, and a lot of true wrestling fans that still watch WWE say, give it to Triple H, look at what he's doing with NXT. You know, we can have this across the board. And it's almost like it was an FU to his family. I mean, he didn't say, hey, Stephanie, you want to take this over? Hey, Trips, you want to buy this out? Because let's face it, none of these folks are broke. Shane's not broke. Stephanie's not broke. Paul Levesque, Triple H, is not broke. I mean, I think they could pull some things together, maybe get an investor. You know what I mean? Make it happen. It's like, wow, they're just going to walk away from it? I mean, I get it. The guy ain't going to live forever, and you got to – I mean, I get it. He's enjoyed what he's doing all this time. That's why he's done it so long and so passionately. And I almost respect the way that he won't give up because he really thinks he's lasted this long and done so well that he knows what's best for wrestling. And if this is him accepting that maybe he is out of touch, I read a story a few months ago. I believe it was the Ultimate Deletion match where Bray Wyatt was thrown in the Lake of Reincarnation. He was quoted as saying, if this gets over and does a rating, I'll have to admit that I'm out of touch. And that it was pretty much him. And I guess he kind of threw his hands up and said, well, I guess I'm out of touch, and walked out when he was told what the rating was. So, you know, I don't think it's so much that as the stress of this, the lost money over lost shows, over lost attendance, you know, and the XFL. He was, You know, which that's heartbreaking. I don't know if you're a football fan. Those were high quality games. They brought in good ratings. Their first weekend, they had more paid attendance than they did their whole first season. Just the first opening day of games. People were watching it, enjoying it, and yeah, just one more thing. This whole, you know, virus thing is just ruined and messed up.
Yeah, most definitely. I actually did. I wasn't able to catch any of the XFL season. I was always working before the pandemic stuff happened. But I heard it was really good because a lot of my coworkers were watching it. But yeah, if you want to stay on the line, brother, I'm going to introduce our guest for the night, Mr. Casanova Valentine. Are you there, brother?
Yep.
Hey, how's it going?
He got disconnected some kind of way. Hopefully he'll give us a call back right away. I do apologize about that.
Oh, okay.
Would it help to clear this line, Day-Day?
No, we're fine.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second. Let me see where he's at real quick.
I'm actually going to give him a call back on my end, okay?
Okay, thank you. But yeah, like I said, man, WWE, Vince McMahon to sell WWE, like Martez said, he brought this up, is if WWE ends up selling or Vince McMahon sells WWE, maybe they're going to keep NXT to be a part, you know, to be their own little company, to start it all over again probably.
Well, I mean, the guy is so smart. Is this out of reality to think that he could sell Raw to ESPN, sell SmackDown to Fox, retain NXT, and freaking flatten them? Like, you think you know better than me? I mean, if they don't hire wrestling minds, they're not going to make it. I don't care how big the company is that owns you, the machine that owns you. I mean, if Disney buys them, it's not going to become the edgier product that Fox wants. So I could see some.
Oh, we're getting the call now.
Coming. Here he comes.
Yo.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Valentine? How's it going? Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313.
Yo. The Brooklyn Antichrist. The Sun Lord of the Underground. The creator. The originator. The goddamn pioneer of the No Ring Deathmatch. The hipster heartthrob. Casco Valentine is fucking here on the Rated R Podcast.
Thank you for the time, brother. How's it going tonight?
It's going okay. I'm in the guest bedroom of my parents' house, and it's raining outside, and I'm in pajamas. Real wild night.
Oh yeah. Sounds like a ball. So yeah. I have my caller tonight, Greg. Would you mind taking a couple questions from him?
Yeah, sure, brother. Hit me.
Good evening, sir.
Well,
I seen your Horror Slam was my first live introduction to you, man. I really enjoyed the show you put on. How did you like our area and our fans at Horror Slam?
What was your experience like? It was really great coming in because I've been hearing about Horror Slam. With Deathmatch, it's a small subculture. And there's only so many places to wrestle for death. You know what I mean? There's H2O, CZW, GCW, VOW recently closed and hasn't been running shows. So when I heard that Horror Slam was getting some steam and doing some stuff, it was cool because it was exciting to know that there'd be a new place to, you know, do my style of wrestling. So I was excited. They hit me up to come in. And I had fun, man. It was cool to be in Detroit. I haven't been back to I used to go to Michigan when I was a kid because my mom's actually from Flint. But yeah, I haven't been back. It was cool to be in Michigan, man. The crowd, you guys are dope, and you guys got built in your own really good wrestlers like Jeff King and Chuck Steen and Stein. You guys already got, you know, your own guys that are good too. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know. As a deathmatch guy, sometimes I come in and it's just me and Schlack versus each other for 1,000 times, different places, you know? So it's kind of nice to get to fight some good hometown guys. So, yeah, it was great, dude. I think me and Chuck had a pretty fun match.
I guarantee you I speak for all of us when I say we appreciate it. We were very entertained by it. It was a great match. Man, I followed it, my 10-year-old son and I, man, from the front door to the back table and everywhere in between.
Yeah, man. Well, that's
a lot of fun. We look forward to seeing you again, too.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I do the whole – I just go for Bruiser Brody, Abdullah the Butcher, man. I just fight, you know. I don't even like to call matches that much. I like to just see what happens, you know. So yeah, it was fun. Chuck took some heavy shots. He's a tough dude, a really nice guy. I was supposed to be back this, you know, in April, but you know, with everything that's going on, but I think I'll be back for sure. Just gotta wait to see when things will be up and running again, you know.
Nice, yeah, can't nice, be soon nice. Enough.
We can't. Yeah. We can't wait. I can't wait. So yeah, Brother Greg, you're gonna stay on the line and listen, or you're gonna listen on Facebook Live. Yeah, you want to stay? You can stay on. You can stick on the line. You can stick on the line.
Yeah,
okay,
out,
sure,
bro. Hey, we're all hanging out.
Yeah, definitely.
That's right. I came to hang out.
Yeah, definitely. This is gonna be fun, guys. Yeah, so Casanova, you started 6 years ago. 6 years ago in the wrestling game. How long before you were in the game that you liked wrestling, and what got you into wrestling, or what wrestlers got your eyes glued to wrestling?
I think I might be in the 6 years. One, two, three. I might be in 7 or 8 now. I've been wrestling a lot longer than people know, because I was just a local guy forever. You know. I was in great shape, having great matches. I used to wear pink boots that no one's ever seen, you know. It took a while for me to branch out, and now I wrestle everywhere, you know. But it took a hot minute. I think the first day of training school was 2012. But yeah, I just always loved wrestling. I told people my very first memory is Hulk Hogan. Like, my very first memory is seeing Hulk Hogan on TV. So, like, I don't remember a time where wrestling wasn't my life. So, I just always loved it. I always loved the characters, and I don't know. I can't remember not loving it, you know. So, it's just something I always wanted to do. And then I got older, and I didn't have a, you know, I was just bouncing at clubs in Brooklyn, and I had no real life direction. And above, like, I am a big athletic guy. I played football in college. I wrestled Greco freestyle my whole life. And I was like, dude, why don't I just do this? Fuck it. Like, literally,
yeah.
Why not? Like,
right.
Why the fuck? Like, what am I holding out for? You know, like, I, you know. So I just found a wrestling school, started doing it. And then here I am, a pro wrestler now. So thank God I hit rock bottom first before I found what my life calling was. But yeah, man, I just always loved wrestling. I always loved cool bad guys. I always loved cool, like, comic books and toys. Like, I always thought bad guys were cool. So I was drawn to, like, Bruiser Brody or Abdullah the Butcher or, you know, Baron Von Erich. Any kind of, like, I mean, Baron Von Rusky, you know, any kind of, like, you know, sleazy bad guy, evil dude, mercenary, you know, I thought was cool. So,
definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I just always loved wrestling.
Nice, nice, nice. Yeah. And talking about wrestling, I know we all grew up as pro wrestling fans, and you know, I'm pretty sure you trained as a wrestler. But did you choose deathmatch wrestling, or did deathmatch choose you?
Death chose me. So I wrestled. So I went to NYWC, which is called New York Wrestling Connection, which is Mikey Whipwreck from ECW's school.
Okay.
And I always wanted to be a pro wrestler, but I was, like, as a kid, I always loved ECW and FNW, and deathmatch was, like, my shit. So, like, I didn't do a deathmatch for, like, my first 5 years, I think. But it's not because I didn't want to. It's just because I just hadn't broken into it yet, you know. I wanted to, but I just hadn't gotten any bookings. I hadn't gotten an opportunity, you know. So in New York, I was known as, like, a hardcore guy, you know. I do, like, ECW-style matches. But finally, I started doing the no-ring death matches, and then from there, I just started getting booked for death matches. So, like, I always wanted to be death. I always knew I'd be good at that shit. And it was going to happen. It was, like, willed, you know?
There you go. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. I love both. Like, I grew up watching WWF, WCW. I watched ECW, you know what I'm saying? ECW was a big thing, you know, with me staying up late. Waking up, sleeping for school, you know, and my brother Greg said, you know, seeing you for the first time going against Chuck Stein, seeing you take that staple in your hand was like the craziest thing I've seen live.
Oh man, that was brutal. I haven't done a staple to the hand before, but like I wanted to do something different because like we're trying to figure the match out, and Chuck's like, I got a staple gun, and I was like, well, everyone's seen the staple to the head with the dollar bill. I'm like, we got to do something different, you know? Like, I don't want to do the same old spot. Like, I want people to be like, I saw something, you know what I mean? Like, a million guys can swing tubes, a million guys can staple each other. I'm like, yo, staple my hand, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But,
yeah.
Man, it hit me right in the nerve, and it hurt like a motherfucker.
But, I can believe it.
Yeah, that was all real. There's no faking that, you know. So I'm glad, though, because now you remember it. It stands out, you know. Like, you will remember that spot, you know. So my pain only lasts for a little bit, but the memory, me having a wild, crazy match will be forever, you know. So it's worth it.
Yeah, most definitely. If hey, Greg, you're still there. You got a question for Casanova. You got another one?
I'm just enjoying the show, man. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, man. I mean, if you got another one, go ahead. We're all hanging out like Casanova said, man. It's all what Casanova says tonight.
So who would you like to get in the ring with that you've not been in the ring with?
Ooh, I can do this one.
That's a
you said you've wrestled Schlack 10,000 times. You could do that with your eyes closed.
Yeah, I've wrestled Schlack only once one-on-one, though. But we've done, like, a ton of multi-man. So hopefully, you know, we can do another good one-on-one in a ring. I've done – you know, I like to have a one-on-one in a ring with him. But, yeah, man.
There's a part where if we were on a live or a chat, I would tag Rachel Green with the big eyes.
One who I really like to fight is I'd like to have a match with Jimmy Havoc. And the reason I want to have a match with Jimmy is I feel like I've had a match with Mance Warner, and Mance Warner and Jimmy Havoc are both in MLW and they're both in and then Jimmy is in AEW.
Yeah.
I'm known for the death, but I think I can hang. And this is no, you know, this is not digging Jimmy. I think Jimmy's great. But I think I can hang with Jimmy. I think I'm just as good as Jimmy and Mansoor are. So I would love an opportunity to wrestle Jimmy just so I could show that I, you know, because, you know, there's only so many hardcore guys that make it to TV, you know. Jimmy Havoc and Mance Warner are kind of holding that down, you know. But I think I'm capable of it, you know. So I'd love to get
Let me remind you, Jimmy. Once upon a time, John Moxley was known only for that genre, and now he's a superstar.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would say, well, Dean or John Moxley can't wrestle. And I didn't get the impression, seeing you and Chuck Stein, that you couldn't hang with a wrestler. I think you could absolutely hang with a wrestler's wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
In a very entertaining match.
Thank you, man. And yeah. I think what I have going for me is, I think with my character and my promos, I like doing death, and I'm never going to stop being the hardcore death guy, but I think I could easily pivot the way Cactus Jack did and Mick Foley, you know, into WWE, where I'm the hardcore guy and I'm the one that will do the hardcore matches, but I can wrestle normal style matches. I wrestle in the ring normal matches all the time. People just don't see them as much. But I have a full schedule all year round where I'm wrestling death, normal, 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 death, death, normal, normal. Like, that's what I do all year round.
It's a
travel.
It's a travel.
Yeah, so I just – my death matches are just more publicized because they're more, you know, notorious. You know, they get a little bit more buzz. than my, you know, my local normal matches, you know. So, but yeah, man, I love Jimmy Havoc's probably on the top of my list. Also, I love to wrestle just some like, kind of weird, oddball, old school guy like the Brooklyn Brawler or somebody, you know, like
the Jabber. Yeah, that would be. I remember Brooklyn Brawler. I've seen him so many times back in the day.
Yeah,
he is one of the trainers at Border City, I think. Isn't that where it is with? But there's a school that he's around here at a school. He's still around and in the business for sure.
Listen, if you see Steve Lombardi's old ass, tell him Cass is gonna fuck him up, because I would love a match with Brooklyn Brawler, because I'm from Brooklyn and he kind of gets, believe it or not, he gets snippy with me on Twitter sometimes. So maybe next time I come down to Michigan, I'll beat him up too while I'm there.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely. On another thing, you have a lot of downtime, you know, do you watch the main, like the current empty matches arena that WWE Impact and AEW are putting on?
Leo, can I be honest with you? And I know it's ironic because I'm famous for the no ring death match, you know, but
right.
I can't watch the no audience. I get it's funny because I'm known for peeling some of the shit back, but like I really have a hard time watching it. Like I can't get into it.
Okay, let me tell you why I do, because when you're watching it, and like for instance Japanese wrestling, you're watching Japanese wrestling in Japanese commentary, I got no clue what they're saying, and but I can feel it. And when you know, and the Japanese crowd, even they're quiet unless something happens, and that I mean that's the emotion of it, the reaction, and there's a great big move, and 1, 2, crickets. What?
Yeah.
I can't get into it, man. Even WrestleMania, I watched it all, and I tried to enjoy it as a pure, true wrestling fan. I mean, you said Hogan was your first memory. Mine was Wildfire Tommy Rich. I'm 38 years old.
Wow.
He was my first favorite wrestler. And God damn you, Buzz Sawyer. You know what I mean?
That was my first memory.
I could literally, before I could speak, I watched wrestling. And now I just, like you said, I can't get into it, man. The emotion's not there. I can't feel it.
Yeah, I can
appreciate. I follow the storylines in print, and that's it.
Yeah, I can appreciate, because I consider pro wrestling a craft, and I can appreciate just watching it. Just watching these guys work, and to just see them do it without the crowd. But for me, I need that energy and the emotional investment.
The emotion, it's emotion. I feel it in my soul.
I need that
energy.
You got to feel that energy from the crowd to actually get it. You got to actually feel the crowd. So I understand what you're saying. Without the crowd, there's no emotion to the whole thing, to the storytelling, to all the emotion
just,
in the ring.
Just not for me, you know. I'm not saying it's horrible or that's not. Listen, I fight people in bars, you know. I know what I do isn't for everybody, you know what I mean. I can appreciate that they're still doing it, and I can appreciate just watching two guys that are good at their craft just go at it, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, I can imagine just having no adrenaline. It's kind of. It might be nice to do a match with no adrenaline and just like, it's just kind of like working out, you know, it's kind of like a practice match. And, you know, that's literally what practice is. You do drills, you do all your stuff, and then you just go have matches like that, you know, thousands of those, you know what I mean? So I can appreciate it as a worker just to see them working and doing it. But for me, I enjoy a live audience. You know, I need that. The power, you know.
Yeah, I need the crowd reaction for the emotion to fully get into it. And no true wrestling fan wants wrestling to die. So, yeah, I am glad that people are still out there putting on a show and keep it, you know. I mean, obviously people aren't going to forget about wrestling in 8 months or a year, but we need a little more than to not forget it, to keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, most definitely. And, so yeah, man. During all this pandemic, what do you do to keep yourself busy?
Well, so here's the thing: I was in Melbourne, Australia, doing a string of no ring death matches when things started getting really bad. So I did two of them, and then I had to just cancel the rest of my bookings because the whole world started shutting down. And then I last second got back to America, and I was getting kind of nervous. Like, yo, am I going to get trapped here? You know what I mean? I wasn't sure. I got back to America. I didn't even go back to my apartment in Brooklyn. I spent the night at one of my sister's houses. There's like tons of kids. So I spent the night at one of my sister's houses and then took a bus straight to my parents. My parents live in upstate, like 4 hours outside of the city. And I've been at my parents ever since. And I built a gym in the barn with the weights I had. I set up my punching bag, my speed bag, and I've just been lifting in the, and I call it the shred shed. So I've just been lifting in the shred shed.
Yeah, I seen that video you put on Facebook earlier. That was funny.
Yeah. So I'm just like literally treating it, honestly, dead ass. I've been sober for like 40 days. I haven't touched a woman in 40 days. I'm literally treating this like prison. I'm just like running push-ups, lifting, and then hopefully I'll come out of this jail jacked. You know,
motherfucker looking like Slack. Right, you gotta come out looking like Jack all big. Oh God,
yeah,
that's one
tattoos. Yeah,
there you go. So yeah,
looking like a blank Slack.
There we go. But yeah, man, it's crazy how this pandemic turned this whole wrestling world upside down, and it canceled a lot of you guys' bookings, you know what I'm saying, to stop your guys' merch sales, and you know that's important for you guys. You know, I can't stress that enough because that's your guys' bread and butter. You know, I can't stress that enough.
It's been, you know, I was supposed to have a tryout last month with a big promotion too, and like that got postponed, and like I was like right there, you know, and I was like, you know, it's very discouraging, but I'm hoping those opportunities will still be there when I come back, and I hope that, you know, wrestling is back to normal. All I can do is try to stay positive and grind. I'm lucky, like, I'm fortunate that I got out of the city and I can crash at my parents' house. So, and I was lucky because I travel so much, I wasn't locked into an apartment. I just had some clothes at a friend's house, sleeping on the futon. Because I travel so much. I was like, why am I going to a friend? Because I'm like, dude, I literally fly out every Thursday, come back every Monday. Like, well, there's no point in me feeding money into an apartment, you know? So I just had some stuff at a friend's place. So I'm lucky. I'm not saying – I know a lot of people are going through hard times, you know? I got lucky that I could just up and leave and come to my parents. So it's not like I saw them having to pay rent on a place I'm stuck in, you know what I mean? My job – when I was in Australia, my shoot job, I'm a doorman at a brewery 3 days a week. They called me up and said, hey, we're going to lay you off. You call now to get on employment, but we'll rehire you when shit's back, you know? So I know my job will be back when I'm ready. I was lucky I'm not stuck in the place. So I made out good, you know? So, you know, I got a gym I set up. So, like, honestly, I'm doing okay, you know. There's a lot of people that have a lot worse than me, you know.
Most definitely. But, you're we see you're on social media, and I'm sure you got your merch online. Is there you want to let the listeners know where they can find you on social media and buy your merch online?
Yeah, man. If you want to get my merch, I have a Pro Wrestling Tees shop. So if you go to prowrestlingtees.com/CasanovaValentine, I have three fucking great shirts on there. I've got one shirt that's designed by Japanese artist Ozawa, who does a lot of the famous Deathmatch guy shirts. You've probably seen them, like real punk rock, bright color design.
Yeah, I've seen them.
He did one
They're
for
really
me.
Nice.
Yeah, he did one for me. I had this artist named Fuck You Baker from Melbourne, Australia, design a shirt for me for my Australian tour. And now the tour is over. I sold all the shirts. I go, you know what? Fuck it, I'll throw the design on Pro Wrestling Tees. And then my No Ring Deathmatch promotion is called New Fear City, and I threw the logo shirt up on there. So I've got three shirts on my Pro Wrestling Tees right now. You can follow me on Twitter. It's CasanovaVal666. And if you follow me on Instagram, it's MC Deathbear. And also, there's a couple other things I got coming up. Because we can't wrestle and everything, every fucking Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Me and Pat from the Boulevard Bullies, we do Quarantine Love Line, which is a streaming show on Boulevard Bullies Twitch, which is twitch.tv/Boulevard Bullies, where we just give love advice. It's real. It's like real fucking stupid. Because it's funny coming from me. Because I had a fan one time, not a fan, some guy on Twitter was like, no one should ever take advice from Casanova Valentine. He's an idiot, you know? So now it's my goal to get as much dumb advice as I can. So 10 o'clock, yeah, 10 o'clock is today, me and Pat, the Quarantine Love Line, where me and my ref give love advice. And next Tuesday, also on the Boulevard Bullies stream, it's going to be Casanova Valentine, the best of 2020, a.k.a. the only matches I had in 2020. So I'm going to be streaming all 12 matches I had before quarantine, which will be including the match with Chuck Stein from Horror Slam. So you're going to watch all 12 of my matches. I'm going to be live on it doing commentary, and everyone can watch the 12 matches I got in. I got to Australia, ICW, CZW. I had 2 pay-per-view main events, so I got some decent shit in. But, yeah, you guys can see the staple hand spot up close and personal. But, yeah, I'm going to stream the only matches I did, so it'll be fun.
Nice, nice. Well, Casanova, we're out of time, and we thank you for the time that you gave us, and hopefully we can have you on again soon and in the future. That way we can get an update from you on after this pandemic is over.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I want to thank you guys so much for having me. I want to thank the Detroit fans are mad dope. I did one other podcast in Detroit. I can't believe how many fans from Detroit have been reaching out to me, so I really appreciate that. The next time I come, I was just in and out. Next time I come, I want to stay all weekend. I want to check out punk rock bars. I didn't get a chance to, like, see the bar scene. So I want to just check out Detroit. Like, I want to just see some cool bars. I don't want to just go to, like, the bar at the VFW. I want to go out and meet some metal babes, you know? And also, I'm going to call out Jeff King right now. Hey, Jeff King, motherfucker! You're a tough dude. When I come back to Detroit, I want you and me 1-on-1 fucking death match. Jeff, motherfucker.
I'm posting and tagging him.
Dude,
post it right now.
I promise I am.
Jeff,
as soon as we get
King,
on, posting him, tagging him.
That's the match you guys fucking want.
Fuck yeah. So, yeah, most definitely when you come back, it'll be my treat. We'll be going to the bar scene, and we'll post it live. We'll go on Facebook Live and anything we can do, and it'll be my treat.
Boom. I'm fucking down. So, yeah, listen, tag Horror Slam. Tell Horror Slam you want Casanova Valentine versus Jeff King. I respect Jeff King. He's got the old school cutter. He's got the Bruiser Brody. Those are the fights I fucking want, and I love to fight that motherfucker. So, Jeff King, I'm calling him out right now, all right? Exclusive to you guys.
We're
going to
make it happen. We're going to tag Rachel. We're going to tag Brian. We're going to tag Jeff King right after this. This is going to happen for sure.
Sounds good, man. All right, yo. God bless. Thanks so much for having me, man. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, and we'll have you again. See you soon.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. All right, guys, that was Casanova Valentine. You heard it yourself. He's going to be in Detroit. He's challenging Jeff King. Jeff King, if you want to come on the show and accept that challenge, you're more than welcome, brother. You already know that. You're more than welcome on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Everybody, Greg is on the line himself, and I have another guest on the line. Martez is going to co-guest with me on that for a couple questions. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Impact Wrestler, Rohit Raja, I'm sorry. Welcome to the show.
That's okay. Everyone, no one can pronounce the name. Rohit Raju, the Jaw Jacking, Tuesday Night Impact, and his mother calls him son because he shines like one mocha skin animal, Rohit Raju.
What's going on, brother? How's it going? How's everything with you?
It's good, man. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. I checked out your match actually on Tuesday came up a little bit short for sure, but man, what a match! I tell you, I was rooting for you the whole time.
I appreciate that shit. I dig it. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, but yeah, man, you actually came into the business a long time ago. You actually started in 2008. You you're a big time wrestler up here in Michigan, man. You're an XICW original. You know what I'm saying? You're a big XI guy, man.
Oh, hell yeah. That is what I cut my teeth at to progress my abilities at XI. That'll always have a place in my heart. I love DBA and all those guys out there.
Most definitely, man, and that's great. You're a great Michigan guy, and you've been wrestling a long time, and you're wrestling actually right now. When do we see you, hold an X Division gold or hold that actual heavyweight gold? Because that's actually what you guys are in the business for.
Dude, hopefully soon. I've been putting in work there for far too long for that to not happen anytime soon. So, anytime they give me opportunities, I've definitely stepped up to the opportunities. So now it's time to start to reap what I sow and get some of these, bigger and better things.
All right. So I'm going to hand it over to my brother, Martez, and see what kind of questions you got for you. We'll go ahead and take it away, Martez.
Okay. Well, thank you, Southwest. I always like to ask this question, and thank you for coming on to his program tonight. How did you break into the business? Where did this all start for you, actually? Where did your love for wrestling start? We can start right there.
When I was a kid, I remember watching old clips of the Road Warriors versus the Koloffs in Russian chain matches, and I was hooked. And then, I'd sit there and watch just anything that was on. When I knew I really wanted to be a wrestler was when I saw WCW 90s Cruiserweight, when Eddie Guerrero, Benoit, Malenko, Mysterio, those guys were all there. And, they were just no taller than I was. I was like, well, shit, I can do this, And I wanted to train. I was actually going to the House of Truth when I had got out of high school. I just couldn't afford it. And, I ended up making something work out where I could go to a place one day a week. It was in Davidson, Michigan at Joe Burt's place. He's in Flint now. So I went and I trained there, and then I got to training with him and started wrestling. I'd head down to the House of Truth just to get more tips and, get a different view of things with Truth Martini and the guys that were down there. And just, ever since I saw it, I always wanted to do it. And walk around my house cutting promos, trying to emulate guys, do imitations of them and stuff. So, yeah, I've always wanted to do it and finally got a chance to actually put in the work. And it's been pretty good so far. Obviously, I want it to be a lot better, but, that's what, the grind and the hustle for.
Awesome. Yeah, I probably have one more question for you. You talked about promos and things of that nature. Us as wrestling fans, we just think you guys should hit home runs all the time in the promo department. But I would like to know, if you don't mind answering this, how difficult is it to pull off a great promo? What goes into putting off
You cut out. I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
What goes into cutting a great promo?
For me, it's bullet points and believing in what you say. So, like, the best rappers to me can freestyle. So they always have, they don't sit there and read it word for word. They have bullet points which they want to hit, and then when it's time to rap, that's what they do. They can do it anywhere, any place, any time. And they have, from the greatest hits that they'll incorporate into their lyrics or, their verse or, they have a certain something they want to hit. When I cut a promo, I assess the situation and see what it is, and then I just go. And then that's the feeling. And I know there's certain things that I want to hit. There's certain things that I want to say and address, and I make sure to add it in there. And I always try to end it with the catchphrase and I add in a couple catchphrases here and there. But it's just, I walk around my house every single day cutting a promo on anything. It could be anything, anybody. And I'll sit there and cut it. And I've always loved that aspect because, to me, the best guys are the guys can, walk it but also talk it. And you'll always be talking about Flair, Rock, Austin, Savage. You'll always be talking about Dusty. You'll always be talking about those guys that can cut a great promo on the microphone. And to me, that's not as big. I don't know if it's big of a deal or people just can't cut them like that anymore, but I think that's like a lost art as far as cutting great promos, and that's something I strive to do is cut great promos. And if you don't believe in them, if I don't believe what I'm saying, you're sure as hell not going to believe what I'm saying. So it's literally what I believe in turned up to like 15.
Most definitely. And Talking about that, man, I actually have never gotten a wrestler on my show, well, recently, that's doing the empty arena matches. What does that feel like? I know you, you know, you're actually, you know, you came from the independents where, you know, sometimes you'll wrestle in front of 10, 15 people, but you're actually wrestling in front of no people. You know, what is that like, actually wrestling in front of no people and have to interact like somebody's there, like in front of the camera?
At first, when you go to do it, it's weird. You go out there, it's like no adrenaline, you know, there's not a lot of adrenaline pumping in your body. And you take that first hit or you take that first bump and you're just like, oh, man, that was, you know, that was tough. But after a while, you start going and it's like riding a bike. And then instead of obviously working the crowd, you work the cameras more and you try to, you know, bring in the people that are watching at home, you get them invested. Because usually you do both. If you're doing TV and you got a live crowd there, you kind of hit everything. But here, you know, get your character across, stuff like that. Look to that camera. Talk to those people at home. Make them want to be invested and give a shit about what you're doing. But it, you know, it was weird at first, but afterwards, it was just work. You know what I mean? And we were out there putting in the work, and you still want to do even better than there was the crowd there because it's that much more important, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Like, you know, like I was watching. Like I said, I was watching it on Tuesday. And it's crazy. Like I've been watching it ever since, you know, they canceled over here in Detroit when they did the SmackDown, when they actually canceled out for the first time, and they did it live from the Performance Center, and actually seeing you guys do it versus AEW and WWE, you guys actually give it a lot of better feeling, because, you know, you guys don't have, you know, your co wrestlers on side of the sidelines and actually cheering you guys on, or you don't have the LED board. You guys actually tarped it off and made it dark and still made it feel like people are in there. You know, I actually like that about Impact.
Good. Well, we appreciate that, man. We appreciate that feedback, I can tell you that. And I appreciate you watching it too, man. Like, we honestly were very proud of the work that we put in, you know, under the circumstances, and we still feel like we put on a great product.
Oh yeah, no. Like I said, I've been watching it since like even before when you guys had it taped. Before you guys started doing the arenas, I thought, I think you guys are doing a good job. You know, from actually a few years back when it was actually like not that good. You know, I've been watching Impact since it was born. You know, but you know, can I ask you a question? You know, I don't want to break kayfabe on air, but what's the deal with them doing the TNA, bringing back the TNA name and bringing back that TNA championship? Is there, you know, are they trying to bring back, you know, TNA, or are they doing like a second brand split or something? If you can't answer that,
I don't honestly know. I know they wanted to do, to my knowledge, it was supposed to be a special thing for the Florida shows. And obviously that got canceled because they were going to, I know they were trying to bring back a lot of TNA guys down there to have some of the Impact guys feud with. And like Moose, it was centered around Moose. And now I don't know where it's going. You know, I know Moose had that TNA title, which was cool to see. And it still looks sweet as hell. When he had it, I was like, man, that belt still looks good. But I don't know if it's a short term thing or a long term thing. I honestly have no idea where it's headed. I like it.
Okay, yeah.
I like to see Suicide come back.
Yeah.
I like seeing all those guys, you know, Hernandez and stuff. I think it's cool. I wish Monty Brown was there. That's who I really want to see back. But you know, I wonder where. I guess they'll probably run with it until it loses its luster, is my take. You know, I mean, people like it. It has that certain nostalgic kick that people respect.
Yeah, most definitely. That's what I liked about it. You know, they brought back that belt. I actually like the TNA heavyweight title more than the Impact world title right now. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like that belt better. But I'm talking about Hernandez next week. Hernandez will be on the show. And I seen that match that you guys put on. That was one hell of a match, too.
Yeah, I was hoping to be a little bit, you know, get a little bit more out of it. But hopefully if we ever run it back, it will. He's a cool dude, man. I've talked to him, like, for the past two tapings. I talked to him a lot, and he gave me a lot of great advice. And, you know, just kind of telling me the ins and the outs and things to look out for and stuff. And talking to me about, I think it's his dad's winery that he has going on down in Texas. So, yeah, Hernandez, he's a cool dude, man. And it was really cool to kick it with him and just really sit under the learning tree and listen to some of the stuff he had to say.
Most definitely, most definitely. I actually have a caller on the line. Would you mind taking a question from him? He's a big fan, and he's seen you wrestle. He's seen you wrestle a lot in XICW. Greg, you on the line still?
Yes, sir. Actually, I'd like to share a memory with him. So about 3 years ago, 4 years or so, I'm guessing, I've been around. So I've told this story before. I went to a show to see Shane Douglas, and I had very low expectations of the show. And so we had been to Raw once, not long before. That's our first independent show. My son's about 7, and he wanted to bring signs like we did at Raw, right? There's this group of heels comes, you know, and he's got this sign, "You suck." You by any chance remember this, Mr. Zane? He spits right on my son's sign. Ah! Ripped it off. Welcome to the show, kid. It was Idris Abraham, Hakeem Zane, and Jake something. It was right before the big blow-off at Kobo that year. It was, I believe it was Best in Detroit 20. I mean, so much it impressed me. He was the Midwest heavyweight champion, Gavin Quinn. Like, wow, that guy's good, man. And, wow, these guys are really good. Like, wow, this is good wrestling. You know, and honestly, what impressed me the most that night, the impression, was the Dre Jacobs-Chris Moore match. But, man, that group and that, I've always, I mean, booed you guys. But, man, I've always kind of liked the heels. I like a heel because they talk that shit and they're not wrong. That's why it makes you mad, because he's right. You know?
That's the best.
And,
that's
man,
the
you've
best
always been that guy.
Opinion.
It's so cocky, and you're not wrong. You're never wrong. I very
that's
much
great.
Appreciate
dude,
your
that.
Work. And I boo you
dude, I love
because
thank
I
you.
Love you and I respect you.
I appreciate that a lot. I love that. I do remember that now. You said that. And one of my favorite times was teaming up with those two. That was a really good time. That was towards the end of our run at XICW and the beginning of us trying to get into Impact. I think Idris was already there or was getting there, and we were all
yeah, because you guys sued him. After he took the fall at Kobo, you guys
that's
sued
right.
And won. So you're still an
yeah.
active member of the XICW roster. As a huge XICW fan, I think it's safe to say that.
Well, we were supposed to come back for it was supposed to be TD and I teaming up.
The reunion show.
Yeah, dude, I was so looking forward to that. And TD was, I don't know if you've seen him, but he's like in such great shape again, jacked out of his mind. So I was just like, man. And one of my last match that I had before the tapings, the last indie show I did was in KZU, and it was actually against Aaron O'Brien, and we killed it. And I was like, damn, I can't even think about how awesome it's going to be when we had that tag match. And then that everything got put down, so we didn't get a chance to have it. But, oh, man, dude, I appreciate that. I love it. I love hearing that stuff. I absolutely love it.
My son, he'll never forget that either. You know what I mean? That he's like, God, dude, that guy.
But, yeah, you know, that's fun, and that's good to hear that you guys had good memories, man. And it's that's actually good. That's but when that show comes about, man, me and Greg will be there, and I'd love to treat you to dinner or, you know, lunch or something when that time comes.
Dude, I can't turn down food, so I'll take you up on that.
There we go, man.
So what was the quote when you walked into the Ritz, Mr. Raju? How did it go? What did you say to Johnny Delicious? The smell of it was three things. Do you remember the last time you came? What was it? Weed, bar food, and something. He's like, I'm home.
Oh my God, yeah.
He had posted
dude,
it. And
I don't remember.
I don't know. I just think of that all the time. But I guess, you know, he walked in the door, and he, like, took a deep breath, and he's like, oh, the smell of it was like weed, bar food, and something else. He's like, I'm home.
Yeah, maybe yep, it was like that's kitty or smelly wrestling gear or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Damn, I come up with a bunch of dumb shit off the top of my head a lot, and I always forget about it. So I don't know. Damn, yeah. I do remember saying something like that to him, though.
That's great. Damn. So, you know, what do you do, Mr. Raju, like during this pandemic? What do you do with a lot of your downtime?
I have a small home gym, so I work out every single day just to try and get in better shape. That's just kind of something I love to do. At night, video games, Call of Duty right now. I just started playing Predator, Final Fantasy Remake, all on PlayStation 4. That's wrong with the Switch here and there. In the daytime, if it's nice, I'll be grilling, doing some day drinking, take my dogs outside all the time. Pretty much it, man. I had to go to Lowe's today and pick up stuff, and that was like the world didn't stop at all. Everybody and their mom was there. So, you know, some places are still busy, but, I just try, if I got to go grocery shopping, go grocery shopping. Try to keep some type of normalcy. But, man, I miss wrestling. I honestly miss it so bad. I miss being in the ring. I'm hoping we can do more Impact tapings again. I don't even care if it's in front of nobody. I just want to get in the ring, man.
Yeah, most definitely. You were actually born in Saginaw, Michigan. Do you actually still stay in Michigan or do you stay in Ontario since Impact's based out of Ontario?
No, I'm in Michigan still. I'm here in Saginaw.
You're still in Saginaw? Okay.
Born and raised, yep.
Born and raised. Nice. Is there, you do you have a dream match that you would like to have against any other TNA original or anybody from the Impact like roster or anybody else that you would like to have a dream match with?
I would love to face Monty just because he's from Saginaw, and I see him from time to time. I would love to verbal spar with him on the microphone. I think that would be so much fun. As of right now, when he gets back, I want to wrestle Rich Swann. I think Swann is amazing. And I want to have a one-on-one with Jake something, a.k.a. Cousin Jake, just because anytime we get in the ring, it's fire, man. We've known each other for so long. We had a one-on-one match at Ring of Honor. Now it's time to have a one-on-one match at Impact. So, you know, anytime we're in a match together, we always try to find each other and beat the crap out of one another. So that's just, you know, how it is, Goku and Vegeta all day long. Other than that, man, I want to move up the ladder at Impact. I think now I'm on that cusp of it. Management is starting to see it. Fans are starting to get behind me and you know, voice their opinion on, hey, man, it's time for him to break out. And I hope they realize that and, boom, pull the trigger. And they've been giving me some opportunities, which has been awesome. And I hope they realize that, like, okay, cool, he took advantage of these opportunities we gave him. Let's give him something bigger. So that's the main goal right now.
Most definitely. I believe it. Like I said, I seen you wrestle a few times. I seen you wrestle last year at the Sweet Daddy Monroe show, and I watch you in Impact. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, you know, I've been watching Impact recently, for the past year and a half, and I've been following you. And most definitely, I believe that you're gonna get it done. I hope Impact season. I hope that you break that glass ceiling, and you deserve it.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate you watching too that long. You're right, dude. It was bad for a while. It was not a great product. But now, under new management and stuff, it's been so much better. And people just need to realize that we got to shake that stigma of thinking, oh, Impact's bad. No, our roster is legit, and everyone goes up there and kills it. And people just need to watch it.
No, more
products realize that we are putting on good shit.
It actually is, and I've been watching Impact since it's been born. But you guys, you know, you're a hard worker, and I can't wait to see it. I'll be watching. Yeah, no doubt. But you know, you're on social media. You know, I'm pretty sure you got your merch on Impact, Impact or Pro Wrestling Tees. Do you want to let the radio or the listeners know where they can find it at?
I got to get some more T-shirts. I sold all the ones I had, so I got to get some more made. Of course, social media, Twitter, at Hakim Zane. That's HAKIMZANE. Raju Zane 80 on Instagram. And then you can just look up the Mad Dragon Hakim Zane or Rohit Raju either on Facebook or YouTube, and you can still find my page or channel. And, the T-shirts I had, the last ones, I did the Wu-Tang Hakim Zane ones again. Those sold out almost instantly. And then I have a Dragon Ball design style Rohit shirt, the first Rohit shirt. We've never had one yet. I'm trying to get that made.
And once that gets made, I'm hoping that'll sell like hotcakes too. I have a feeling it will because it's a sweet ass design. And so as of right now, though, no merch on Pro Wrestling Team. I kind of want to sell it myself to get all the money. but nothing yet. So I'm going to get these shirts remade and so I can sell them again.
Most definitely. But we appreciate the time and we appreciate you. And hopefully one day we'll have you back on in the near future. It's been an honor, and I continue to be watching you guys every week on Tuesday on Impact Wrestling. You guys tune in and catch Mr. Raju on Impact Wrestling every Tuesday night.
And you know what? I'm going to challenge Jeff King, too. No, I'm a sucker.
I mean, I would love to see it.
I don't know, man.
I would love to see it.
Deathmatch stuff. He would eat me alive. But in the ring, I remember the old timer. When I first started up, he was, you know, the old grappler. So if he wants to dust those books off any time in the week, more than
hey,
one,
I'm gonna post about it.
Jeff
he
King,
has though. Challenged Jeff King to a wrestling match.
That's
he
right.
is
tell
Matt,
him
the Mad Dragon has
grapple.
Challenged the old timer to a wrestling match. Wrestling.
That's right. He can.
He wants
can
to see what he's
match,
got.
But if he wants to grapple and have a real wrestling match, he knows where to find.
I'm tagging him. I'm putting
Jeff
it out there.
King, Jeff King, you had two challenges challenged to you on the Rated R Wrestling
you
Podcast.
Man,
we need you on here soon. We need him soon.
Yeah, your man, Jeff King. Yeah.
Dig it. I don't think you understand, though.
Well, I dig it. And Mr. Raju, we thank you for, like I said, we thank you for the time, and we hope to have you all. We'll have you on again.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy. Be safe.
Have a great night and stay safe. Well, everybody, that was Mr. Raju from Impact Wrestling. Greg, how'd you enjoy the show tonight?
This is like a dream to me, man. It's I called expecting to listen. I didn't expect to be this involved, and you know, you'll ask questions. You kind of put me on the spot there. Something came to mind.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what I want all the callers to call in. If you guys got something else to say before we get off the air, area code 646-668-8672. You seen what Greg was having questions and talking with the wrestlers that we get to interview here on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. So if you guys want to call in, ask the wrestlers questions, you guys give it on the shoot. You guys give me a call. Or if you guys want to call and talk about wrestling, we could do the same thing. If you want to shoot the shits with the Southwest Texan, give me a call. But, Greg, it was great having you on tonight. And, Martez, what did you think about tonight? Martez?
Is he there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. My microphone wasn't on. I'm sorry.
okay.
But, yeah, I enjoyed all the interviews, especially this last one with, I hope I said his name right, Raju. A phenomenal interview. Phenomenal interview. Sounds like a nice guy. You know, definitely going to continue to watch him on Impact Wrestling, watch him more. So, yeah, I'm just blown away how great the interview was between you and him, and even with Greg chiming in.
Appreciate it. But, yeah, guys, we're 1 minute away from going off air. But after the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, catch the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost. Going to be a great show, I'm pretty sure. So if you guys want to stay tuned or tune in, either way, make your way to see the Gorilla or listen to the Gorilla Podcast through with Steve Aarons and my Macho Ghost. It's been the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I love you guys. Greg, thank you for being on the show. And Martez, I'll talk to you later, brother. Peace out, you guys.
Thank you, sir.